what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. And as much as I love Tom Lehrer, I like my guest today even better. She's a wonderful, admirable woman who served multiple terms in the House of Representatives in spite of the best efforts made to get rid of her. She exposed the pledge, which most Americans in the world itself may not have known, to wit that new members of Congress or candidates, therefore, are asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of those even of the United States. I know she spoke on Press TV in, as I recall, 2011. It may not have been the first, but her own surprise was that she thought everybody knew when nobody knew. I had a friend discussing Cynthia's admirable action in this response, in this regard, and he asked me, did I know how many members of the then current Congress had refused to sign the pledge? And when I acknowledged I did not, he held up one finger of one hand. Even as notable a member of Congress as Dennis Kucinich, whom I regarded at the time as the smartest member of Congress, was unable to overcome the efforts to get rid of him by, in his case, reconfiguring his district so he no longer had a seat. I'm sure they ran many well-financed candidates against my guest today, but without success. Cynthia McKinney, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me to come on, Jim. These are definitely times when all of us need to pull together, because if we don't, the United States and the world, quite frankly, will never be, well, in the first place, I don't want it to be like it was, like it used to be. The old normal wasn't normal. But I want a different normal. I want a different vision. I have a different vision for this country. And I have a different vision for the leadership that this country can provide to the rest of the world. But that leadership would be based on principle and honor and morality, not what we get today. And so that means that we, the people, have got to stand up and stand strong. And at this particular point in time, we've got the opportunity to drain the swamp, and we need to support those who are draining the swamp. That would be the two attorneys, Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell, who are working on behalf of President Trump. And I just want to also say that with these electronic voting machines, my state of Georgia, which has become the laughing stock of the nation, it has been a laughing stock for a very long time for vastly different reasons. But these electronic voting machines were first deployed in Georgia. And I watched the entire process unfold, how they selected Diebold machines, which later became Dominion, how they selected those Diebold machines over much better, more qualified, more reliable, more accountable machines. And basically, it was a corrupt process in the decision making where the relative of the leader of the Georgia legislature was selected to be the quote unquote lobbyist for the firm. And so then we're seeing the same scenario unfold where you've got chiefs of staff from Georgia, from California, Nancy Pelosi. You've got chiefs of staff who become the leaders of these companies. And then, of course, that gives them an inside track. And the inferior product that is hackable, that allows votes to be changed, is the one that is selected. I watched it firsthand. I was also a victim of it. Vote flipping, breakdown in the middle of the night. I'm leading all of a sudden. I'm no longer leading. And I'm out of Congress. I've witnessed it. The only thing is that I didn't know about Hammer. I didn't know about Scorecard. But we did file a lawsuit. And in the lawsuit, the state of Georgia revealed two things. That the administration of U.S. elections at that time had been privatized. Because the poll workers, the official poll workers, didn't have a clue how to operate the machines. So if there were a problem, then the Diebold people would come to, quote unquote, fix the problem. So this is totally unacceptable. The second thing is that I experienced the expert witness in the court said that you just have to trust that the announced winner is the actual winner. So people go to the polls and it is, as Bev Harris used to say, black box voting, that you put your blind faith in this black box and hope that what comes out is a true reflection of the will of the voters. It is not. It was not then, and it is worse now. I tried to call attention to all of this but I didn't have the money to carry on with the lawsuit because the judiciary is a swamp as well. Hopefully, President Trump will allow Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood to go the full distance without any interference, and that we will get rid of the people, the people who made these decisions all over the country. And Georgia is the only state in this country where every county is a Dominion voting system county. It's a shame.
Oh, Cynthia, you got it exactly right. As you may be aware, on September 12, 2018, President Trump signed an order, the executive order on imposing certain sanctions in the event of foreign interference in a United States election. It turns out that Dominion, the machines that were being used to process the voting, which is a highly unusual design that includes a printer, so it's the only voting machine I've ever heard of where they could actually reprint a ballot or add, you know, another vote to nullify it if you had cast a vote for two candidates instead of simply one, which allows for the is actually owned by a Canadian company. Citol, this firm that was tabulating the votes, is a Spanish company. It appears that the servers that were processing machines were in Frankfurt, Germany, and they've just been seized by special forces a couple days ago. Here's the latest summary I have of what's going on. Source reveals the CIA ran the vote theft while Trump and the DOD documented the entire election coup. Yesterday, sources told us that the CIA was in charge of running the vote theft operation with Gina Haspel, deeply involved in straight-up treason. On election night, President Trump and hand-selected DOD personnel were sitting in secure command room watching and documenting the entire election theft taking place in real time. All the vote theft was recorded in detail. It was allowed to take place so that deep state treasonous actors could be caught in the act. Cynthia, I think from all the sources I have, this was an elaborate scam. There are many ways they prepared for it. Trump knew, he saw it coming. He'd been talking about it for years. The guy would have had to have been a complete numbskull not to have taken measures to deal with it, and the man is not. He's some kind of political genius. How much have you been able to fathom from abroad about the skullduggery taking place here? It seems to me quite a lot.
Well, it is. And what's so embarrassing to me as a Georgian is that it's always the state of Georgia. And here we've got the announcements, and I believe it came from the Secretary of State's office, might have also come from the governor, that we were going to have, that Georgia was going to have an audit and a recount. And this was to be done by hand. The audit somehow just got dropped. And so now it's just a recount of, but see, here in Georgia, what happened was we got so many ballots. Our mailboxes were filled with all of these ballots. Every Democratic supported organization was sending out ballots. There were so many ballots on the street. Now, I ordered an official ballot from the Secretary of State's office and got it, but there were too many ballots just floating on the street. How do we know that what they are counting are official ballots only? We don't. And that's what makes this Georgia so-called hand recount. That's what makes it just a sham. I am so embarrassed. It's clear that the leadership has failed the people of Georgia. I was somewhat satisfied with Kemp because even though he got in fraudulently, he didn't win the election, but he got in fraudulently. And in terms of shutting down the state, and you know, everyone was afraid and concerned, make sure they did the right thing. He sent the National Guard into the retirement homes and made in the nursing homes and made sure that they were clean from top to bottom. They were sanitized. It was wonderful. And then the state reopened. You know, there are some states that are still locked down. And so and people were coming to Georgia from those other states because Georgia was open for business. Everyone, you know, was practicing the necessary requirements of social distancing and all of that. And we can talk about the validity of all of these things. But when people ought to be taking hydroxychloroquine, but at least the businesses were able to operate. Here you've got family-owned business, small businesses in states like New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, that they've been locked down since the very beginning, all year. How are these family businesses going to survive when they can only allow 15 people? Now Cuomo says 10 for Thanksgiving, when they can only allow a small number of people inside their establishments. Clearly what is going on is a political agenda. The policies have nothing to do with health or saving the lives of people.
Oh, you're 100% correct across the board, Cynthia. Would you believe in the U.S. every year now, for the last 10, we've had in excess of 2 million deaths, like 2,700,000, 2,800,000, close to 2,900,000, that right now at the rate we're going, we're going to have fewer deaths this year than we had last from all causes combined, where they're doing all kinds of fake testing, 90% false positives. The actual number who are supposed to have died from the coronavirus alone may be fewer than 10,000. They're not even keeping track of flu deaths because they're merging them all together as alleged deaths caused by the coronavirus. This is a scam of unimaginable proportions. But the American people, sad to say, are very easily played, Cynthia. And when you have this guy, Dr. Anthony, Tony the Rat, I call him, Fauci, he's done more damage to America than all our foreign enemies combined. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Emperor Hirohito. Anthony Fauci has been responsible for more damage to the United States than all of them combined.
Well, you know, I'm just looking now. It seems that New York, the state of New York, is deploying yet more National Guard and NYPD officers to enforce the COVID rules at the airport. So now what's happening in our tri-state area? New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are walking in lockstep. Also, you've got Massachusetts that's basically doing the same thing. They were actually the first ones to come out with this whole foreigners can't come in kind of thing. But so now you've got a situation where people from other parts of the country are going to be looked at suspiciously. I mean, what is going on here? But I'll tell you what's going on. This is a preview of the Biden administration. A Biden administration with Bill Gates and the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds are all in charge. They're in the World Economic Forum. Head honchos are all getting what they want, and the people are suffering. That's the future of the United States under a Joe Biden administration. Thank goodness. Well, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, because like I said, the judiciary is as much a swamp as the legislative branch is of Congress in Washington. So let's hope that justice prevails. justice didn't prevail for me, Jim, because when my votes were flipping, we had ghost votes, we had phantom votes, we had people in South Georgia, we had people in the city of Atlanta, we had people all over the state of Georgia voting in my campaign, in my election. And when we asked to get the election data so we could know how those votes were treated, were they counted, were they not counted, how many other people, we had affidavits from the people who called and said that they voted for me and my name was on their ballot and they found it strange, or my name was on their ballot one time and then my name wasn't, my name disappeared. We had all of this in terms of in affidavit form, but we didn't have the money to carry out the litigation. And so, but all of this happened before. I'm a former member of Congress as a result of this same scenario that we're going through right now. If we had been able to nip it in the bud back then maybe we wouldn't have the problem that we have today. We've got this problem today. And if we don't nip it in the bud today, we won't have a republic tomorrow.
You're 100% correct, Cynthia. I have no doubt your constituents would have kept you in the House of Representatives forever. You are a wonderful person. You're so genuine. You so clearly care about them. That's why the American people are so responsive to Donald Trump. Tucker did a show about this obscure town out in Pennsylvania, Butler, Pennsylvania. And the hills were just swarming with tens of thousands of people waiting for Trump to arrive. And he was explaining they were all out there because they love him because he loves them. We know this guy is genuine and real. And that's, of course, why he's a threat to the deep state and the establishment, because they use the American people just as a means for them to milk us of our tax money to improve their own personal estate. And governors like Cuomo in New York, and Newsom in California, and Whitmer in Michigan. These are monsters, Cynthia. These are monsters. These are vulture politicians who are running the state to benefit themselves.
Well, thank goodness you've got citizens who have filed lawsuits against these the COVID overreach of these governors. And so in California, it was successful. In Michigan, it was successful. I'm sorry to say that it was not successful in Connecticut, where the governor's authority to enforce an involuntary health quarantine was affirmed. Now, to show you the hypocrisy that's going on, you mentioned the name of Dr. Fauci, and I'd have to be honest with you, when he would come on television long time ago, he would come on the television and, you know, we would look at him and we were so proud. He was from Centers for Disease Control and now Prevention. And so this man was looked up as and respected. But right now he has shown that he's a deep state agent. He is the worst of the worst. And I have doctors who are telling me that they publicly challenged him to a hydroxychloroquine urine test because they believe that he's taking HCQ because HCQ has been demonstrated all over the world. If you look at the chart that's provided by the European CDC, what you can see is those countries that are using HCQ along with the zinc are outperforming the countries that are not using the HCQ. So any country that follows the West, and those are basically the Western countries, any country that follows the West, Big Pharma's the West, is going to suffer, as the people of the United States are unnecessarily suffering because HCQ, written by Fauci himself when it was SARS, coronavirus 1, is it knows that HCQ is efficacious against this virus. The other thing that is absolutely disgusting you mentioned was the fake PCR test that they're using to ascertain whether or not an individual has SARS coronavirus 2. It's a joke. And you're right that they've had 90% false positives, because the PCR test, as it's amplified 45 times, which is never supposed to be amplified any more than 30 to 35 times, is amplified more than 35 times. And that's because it's capturing colds, flu, dead coronaviruses that are no longer active in the body. And so that's why you're getting so many false positives, and the PCR test is a joke.
Cynthia, you're right on top of this. It picks up fragments of RNA left from past colds and flu and so forth, all in the coronavirus family, and that Fauci has known since 2005 at the very least that HCQ is a wonder drug for coronavirus. It not only will cure it if you have it, it'll prevent it if you don't. It was published in the Journal of Virology that year, where Anthony Fauci, Virology is a journal of the National Institutes of Health, of which Fauci is a director. Nobody had to die. He suppressed the HCQ information in order to inflict havoc on the country and use this coronavirus as a scam to steal the whole nation, to destroy the middle class and small business, to bring in the Great Reset. Cynthia, you're right on top of this. I'm very impressed. We got a break now, but we'll be back right after with my special guest, Cynthia McKinney, and we'll be taking your calls during the second hour.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm simply delighted to have as my featured guest today, Cynthia McKinney, who knows a great deal, even from personal experience up close, about what happens in these elections. I was giving you, Cynthia, a bit of a situation summary about how the theft of the election was documented. Here's a partial continuation. In the coming weeks, this information will be presented to the U.S. Supreme Court. We anticipate SCOTUS will invalidate the presidential election and kick the outcome back to Congress, where each state gets one vote to choose the next president. Republicans have a strong majority in the number of state legislatures they control, which I understand is actually 38, and they will easily win that vote. Nancy Pelosi may refuse to allow the vote to take place, but if she does, she will be arrested for treason. Now, you mentioned Sidney Powell, who's been making some appearances with Lou Dobbs to give us an update. I'd like to get your reaction to what she had to say with Lou here just, I think, yesterday.
Joining us now by phone, Sidney Powell, a member of President Trump's legal team. She is also General Michael Flynn's attorney, former federal prosecutor, best-selling author, one of the country's most prominent appellate attorneys. Sidney, good to have you with us. Dominion voting system seems to be figuring larger and larger in the interest of your legal team. And what is the latest?
Oh, definitely, Lou. I've just gotten some stunning evidence from a firsthand witness, a high-ranking military officer who was present when Smartmatic was designed in a way that the and I'm going to just read you some of these statements, if you don't mind, so I get them exactly
sure.
Right from the affidavit. Designed in a way that the system could change the vote of each voter without being detected. He wanted the software itself to function in such a manner that if the voter were to place their thumbprint or fingerprint on a scanner, then the thumbprint would be tied to a record of the voter's name and identity as having voted, but that voter would not be tracked to the changed vote. He made it clear that the system would have to be set up but not leave any evidence of the changed vote for a specific voter, and that there would be no evidence to show and nothing to contradict that the name or the fingerprint or thumbprint was going with a changed vote. Smartmatic agreed to create such a system and produce the software and hardware that accomplished the result for President Chavez. After the Smartmatic electoral management system was put in place, he closely observed several elections where the results were manipulated using the Smartmatic software. One such election was December 2006 when Chavez was running against Rosales. Chavez won with a landslide over Rosales, a margin of nearly 6 million votes for Chavez, versus $3.7 million for Rosales. In 2013, he witnessed another Venezuelan national election where the Smartmatic management right. system was used to manipulate and change the results for Chavez. And it goes on and on. He was in the control room where multiple digital display screens were shown for results and voting. The actual voting results were fed into that room and onto the displays over an internet feed, which was connected to a sophisticated computer system created by Smartmatic. People in that room were able to see in real time whether the vote that came through the electronic voting system was in their favor or against them. If one looked at any particular screen, they could determine that the vote from any specific area or as a national total was going to be against either candidate. Persons controlling the vote tabulation computer had the ability to change the reporting of votes by moving votes from one candidate to another by using the Smartmatic software.
And Smartmatic, the relation.
Smartmatic.
Yes, and Smartmatic, the chairman is Admiral Pete Neffinger, who is also on the president, the vice president's transition team, his presidential, presumptuous presidential transition team. That's an extraordinary situation as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So here's the other kicker. When the Smartmatic machines are, when somebody's losing, like, for example, when Maduro and his supporters realized the size of the other guy's lead, they were worried that they were in crisis mode and would lose the election. The Smartmatic's machines used for voting in each state were connected to the internet, reported their information over the internet to the Caracas Control Center real time, so the decision was made to reset the entire system. Maduro's and his supporters ordered the network controllers to take the internet itself offline in practically all parts in Venezuela to change the result. It took the voting operators approximately 2 hours to make the adjustments in the vote from Radonsky to Maduro. Then when they turned the internet back on and the online reporting was up and running again, they checked each screen state by state to be certain they could see each vote was changed in favor of Maduro.
Sydney, you tweeted earlier today about CIA and its association. What have you discovered there?
Well, other than the fact there's no way all this was happening over around and around the world without the CIA knowing about it. I mean, that's just logic. This affidavit also explains it's been used to change election results all over the world. And it's all Venezuelan and Cuban and essentially communist money that's been doing this. It's a foreign-owned company, as you mentioned earlier. The president of it is Mr. Neffinger, who is on Biden's very presumptuous and immediately failing transition team. And people have been reporting this to our government for several years, including Democrats, and nobody's done a damn thing about it, Lou. I can't even express how furious I am over this.
Now, Cynthia, there's more to that interview, but get the parallel here. I stayed up late election day. I was here Central Time till 2:30, but everyone knows how the vote counting stopped. They were doing to us what they did in Venezuela. They were stopping to adjust to see what else they needed, and then they started bringing in truckloads of new ballots. I mean, there's so much going on here. But let me just add one point about this executive order the president issued. It allows the government to seize the assets of anyone who participated in a foreign intervention in an American election, which is going to include not only the Dominion and Smartmatic, but the anchors and the newsmen and everyone else involved in this elaborate scam. Cynthia, it could be huge.
Well, it could be, but you know, Jim, I honestly, I've just lost faith because we've witnessed Hillary Clinton's treason, quite frankly. We also saw 30 some odd little Haitian children being trafficked by a Hillary Clinton friend. That friend was bailed out and then put in charge of the Amber Alert system. I mean, these things just happen and they continue to happen. Madeleine Albright championed the breakup of Yugoslavia, the creation of a country carved out of another country called Kosovo, and then proceeded to try and get kickback contracts as a result of the successful regime change. So when Smedley Butler said that war is a racket, war can take place in many forms. Of course, now we know through the terminology of hybrid warfare that it's not just the bombs and missiles being launched, but it's everything, the totality of any kind of action against another country. And this is what's been going on. And no one has been brought to justice, but millions of people are suffering in their wake. And the president said, drain the swamp. And we said, lock her up. And nothing ever happened. And in fact, everything that happened in the DOJ, the FBI, none of that is new. If you read the COINTELPRO papers, you'll know that the Department of Justice was used by Lyndon Johnson, being one of the presidents, for political purposes. You also know that in the COINTELPRO era, as a part of that whole program, people were killed. So in fact, it was worse then than it is now, if you think now is bad, and nobody was punished.
Well, Cynthia, that's a heavy message, needless to say. You know, I hope I'm not being naive and believing this guy is different. Because if I am wrong about this, the fate of the nation hangs in the balance. And I have said before and say again, if Joe Biden is inaugurated at noon on 20 January 2021, that marks the beginning of the second civil war for the soul of this nation. Because if he comes into office, he is going to destroy America, turn it over to the globalists. There's going to be nothing but wreckage left. We're going to have a miserable, slow death. We may even fulfill the projections coming from Deagle.com that the U.S. population is going to drop precipitously from 330 million in 2020 to less than 100 million in 2025. Cynthia, that is staggering.
It is staggering. And the fact of the matter is, we can see the permanent lockdown status that Joe Biden will impose on this country from what's happening in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. These Democratic governors have locked their states down for an entire year. And so I just looked at it last night. I just discovered it. It's called Songbird, and it's some kind of movie or something that's going to be released, I believe, December 11th or so. And it's about week 25 of lockdowns and exactly what's going on now, where you have to show that, you know, you've heard about this. It's not COVID pass, but that's what it is. It's called Compass. And it's over in the UK, where your passport, you're given the equivalent of you remember you had that yellow card a long time ago, long, long, long time ago. You did international travel. You had the yellow card saying that you had had your smallpox and your yellow fever shots and all of that stuff. Well, this is an electronic, a digital pass that says that you're COVID-19 free and you can't fly. You cannot fly without it. And this has already been deployed in the United Kingdom. This is shocking. It's shocking. And this movie has incorporated the vision of the Rothschild, Rockefeller, Bill Gates, that whole crowd, the World Economic Forum crowd, it has incorporated their vision. I own nothing. I have no privacy and I'm happy into this movie. It's a must see movie, I think. And anybody who thinks that this is a, I hope nobody does, thinks that this is a medical response to a medical problem. This is a political response to a politically originated biological weapon that was laboratory created for the purpose of pursuing the political objective.
Cynthia, you got it 100% right. You're talking about the COVID pass, they call it, a digital health passport, but it'll not be limited to authorizing international travel. It'll be required to engage in all manner of travel and commerce. Your travel and commerce will be blocked if your digital health passport doesn't reflect that you've been vaccinated against COVID-19. In fact, there's a whole array of countries that are going to participate in the rollout, including not just the U.S., but Italy, Portugal, France, Panama, India, Canada, Sweden, Spain, South Africa, Mexico, United Arab Emirates, and the Netherlands. This is grotesque. You got it exactly right. And the World Economic Forum is boasting about what's to come, the introduction of the New World Order. It's outrageous, Cynthia. And why I say if Biden-Harris are inaugurated on 20 January, they may shut down the internet, may might close all the newspapers. But every patriot has to recognize that is the signal. That is the starting gun. You might as well fire off a howitzer in your city square. Every patriot has to come to the defense of the nation. We will live free or die, Cynthia. This is for all the marbles. I've never been so distressed in my life over the fate of the nation. And I say this as a former Marine Corps officer who understands what war is about. And I say we're going to have no choice, because otherwise we're going to live the rest of our lives as serfs and slaves.
You are absolutely right. And let me just say a word about these vaccines, because, you know, the vaccines have been portrayed as a panacea, and the president is doing a disservice to everyone, because the president rightly knows. You know, I just finished this book about coronavirus. The name of the book is, I have to look it up. The name of the book is When China Sneezes, From the Coronavirus Lockdown to the Global Political Economic Crisis. And in this book, we discuss SARS coronavirus 2, but we don't limit ourselves to health, although I do have some contributions. Particularly in my postscript, I have a contribution from MDs, a group of medical doctors. But we also take a look at the political and the economic agenda of these people. And the president wrote a letter in the very beginning of this entire scenario, wrote a letter demanding an investigation into the origin of SARS coronavirus 2, because he, like the rest of us, read the Indian study that found the four HIV inserts. And so he knew that he knows that this is not the China virus, but that this is a virus that was created in labs in Australia, North Carolina, and in China. And Fauci is in the heart of all of this research. I would also just like to say, before I finish on the vaccines, about Fauci, is the promotion of the Pfizer and Moderna and Gilead Sciences, Remdesivir, those are all deep state companies. That's big pharma at its worst. So now why is it that Fauci, I just want to take a look at Fauci's stock portfolio. I am convinced that part of this is profiteering the same way that Dianne Feinstein profiteered for decades off of these wars that didn't benefit anybody but Israel. So, and now we learn that Dianne Feinstein's husband is invested in Dominion and they're profiteering off election pain. Fauci is profiteering off of this health pain. But then back to these vaccines from Moderna and Pfizer. So what I did was I reached out to several doctors, got in touch with me. And one of the doctors responded thusly when I asked him, what did he think of the patent, the Pfizer patent on which the vaccine is based? This was his response. He wrote, genetic vaccine, either RNA or DNA, directly injected into body cells or via a monkey adenovirus vector is highly disputable. Possible side effects, autoimmune disease, genomic mutations, activation of oncogenes, so that's cancer. There is absolutely no reason to expose humanity to these dangers. That's from a European doctor when I sent him the Pfizer patent.
Cynthia, not only is Dianne Feinstein's husband an investor in Dominion, but Nancy Pelosi's chief of staff is a chief executive officer of Dominion.
It's just corruption. And these untouchable members of Congress, why are they untouchable? You introduced me as a former member of Congress, and all I did was love my district, the people in my district. I love my country, and I was not allowed to love my country. My love had to go through Tel Aviv first. But these people are untouchable.
Yeah, well, I think that may not remain the case much longer, because it may be very bloody. It may be very messy. But by my surmise, there are about 130 million armed Americans who did not vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and are not going to allow this country to be stolen by the global elitists who want to control the entire planet based upon a fabricated pandemic that's political and not a medical emergency. You are spot on, Cynthia.
Now, I've got another doctor who sent the following to me. His is a little more technical, so I'm just going to read the last part of it, where he says, just like the virus, because now people are coming down with what this particular doctor is calling COVID-20, which is the HIV part of the SARS coronavirus 2, has those four HIV inserts in there, therefore a reason. That's the gain of function, but it also allows the virus to penetrate into every cell in the human body. So this doctor writes, just like the virus, to cause the lasting inflammatory response, we know better as chronic COVID AIDS. His idea is that the vaccine is going to spread COVID AIDS to everyone.
Cynthia, that wouldn't surprise me in the least. These are diabolical schemes by monsters who are inhumane in the extreme. Anyone who'd like to speak with Cynthia, the number, call in 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. Mitchell is here. He'll field your call. He'll get you on with Cynthia and me. This, I think, is an opportunity you don't want to miss. This woman is a hero of the nation, and I'm very honored to have her here today. We are in complete agreement about the range of issues and the despicable conduct of evil forces that are trying to destroy the nation we love and cherish. We cannot allow that to happen. We cannot allow that to happen. Anyone who wants to call in, therefore, you got the number, 540-352-4452. Cynthia, it's just such a pleasure. I've specifically invited a former lawyer who has been writing to the Georgia Composite Medical Board about taking measures against Bill and Melinda Gates in Georgia for their abuse of the situation where Gates' professed goal is depopulation, where she's filed a complaint for the unauthorized practice of medicine against Bill and Melinda Gates in the state of Georgia. I hope she will call in because she's a huge fan of yours, as am I, as should be the entire world and every American, Cynthia. It's such a great pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me to come in. And, you know, this is just a very serious time right now. The president is fighting back. He's got great attorneys who are fighting back, whom he has authorized to fight back on his behalf. But it's not just his behalf. They are fighting for us.
That's right. They're fighting for us all. Call in to speak to Cynthia McKinney right after the break. We'll be back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hi, Jim.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We'll be right back.
my good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm not surprised we have two or three callers standing by already. I'm going to begin with area code 802. Please give us your state and first name and join the conversation. Area code 802.
Thank you, Professor Fetzer. I just have one question. Please allow me to plug the station really quick first.
Go ahead.
Thank you, all listeners. This is freedomslips.com, also known as revolution.radio. This is Christopher from Northern Vermont. Greenheart One in the chat room, if you can, please make a donation to our wonderful 100% listener-supported, all-volunteer, live internet radio freedom of speech platform. You can click the donate button on the internet page, freedomslips.com, or you can send snail mail down at the bottom of the page. Thank you very much. And also, please consider looking at Professor Jim Fetzer's wonderful website where he has his books, moonrockbooks.com, where you'll find such wonderful titles as Nobody Died in Sandy Hook and also Nobody Died in Boston Either at moonrockbooks.com. Here's my question,
thanks,
Professor Fetzer.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Yeah, Revolution Radio is wonderful. Let me bring in Giuseppe. Because of his background with medicine, Cynthia, he's a huge fan and a dear colleague. Giuseppe.
Well, it's an honor to be speaking with Dr. McKenney. I've been a longtime fan of her courage, especially coming out and exposing the terrorist state of Israel's effort to get her to sign a pledge of loyalty to that Rothschild retail shop, as opposed to being loyal to your country as an elected official. It just blows my mind that that actually exists. And I just wanted to ask you, you've publicly admitted that event occurred, but did you have ongoing events where you knew the deep state, the CIA, the Mossad was giving you little hints that we're going to be a burr in your saddle?
Oh, gosh, yes. When I, you see, every candidate is approached by AIPAC with the language. Now they've switched it that you have to put certain language up on your website if you're a candidate. And so you'll notice I've actually went through this with another radio program where I compared two candidates running for the same office in the same seat, and they had the same language when it came to Israel. And so in that way, I was able to demonstrate how it's done now and what the audience at that time could look for in other campaigns. And so by the time you're sworn in, you've already been bought. And so that's why you're behind the curve if you try and go to these people after they win the election. You have to stop the AIPAC. You have to stop that whole onslaught while with candidacies of people who are not viable by this system. And there are good people in this system, but they become rotten because the system is so rotten. So the number of people inside the Congress who accepted the pledge, well, it's all of them. That's the problem. You have to get them before they get into the Congress.
Cynthia, you're so right, because a dear friend of mine asked if I knew, when I was talking about you and what you'd done in exposing the pledge, how many members of the then present Congress had refused to sign the pledge. And I acknowledge I did not know. He held up one finger of one hand.
Yes, that's right.
How pathetic is that, Cynthia? We got members we've elected to Congress, and they're declaring they're going to put the interests of Israel ahead of the United States, their own constituents, their own nation.
Well, that's how you get, say, in the midst of Israel bombing Gaza, which they bombed forever. There's hardly anything left in Gaza to not bomb. They bomb Gaza, and then you get a resolution passed by the Congress, 533, and the only two no votes would be me and Ron Paul.
Two great Americans. Paul from California, I'm going to bring in. Paul, go ahead. Give us a thought.
Paul, yeah. Paul, I'm here in Connecticut.
Oh, go ahead then. Go ahead.
Professor Jim, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was just listening to Dr. McKinney and Giuseppe, and I had a health care question. My daughter works in the health care field as a nurse. So I'm wondering, not only regular citizens, but first and foremost, the people on the front line, the health care workers, will they be subject to discipline or what have you, or even arrest if they refuse these vaccines that are coming out?
I expect they will suffer penalties, because the big pharma is very much in this. They stand to make billions by these vaccine regimens. Yeah. I mean, for Bill Gates, this is a big business. He won't allow his own children to be vaccinated. I'm sure he's never been vaccinated, but he wants to vaccinate the whole world, because each vaccination is going to bring him bucks. And when you add it all up, that's a lot of bucks. It's all despicable. None of it has to do with a real sincere concern with anyone's health or well-being. Cynthia.
Actually, I don't know the answer to that question, even though my mom was in the healthcare field, but you know, that was at a time when we didn't have these concerns and there was a lot more trust in the vaccination process. But now I imagine that there would be repercussions for saying no, but there ought to be some kind of conscientiousness clause that would allow them, on the basis of their conscience, to say, no, I don't want to take this, hopefully.
You can stay on the line and I'll come back to you. Dean, you're welcome to join the conversation.
Thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dean.
Hi, Cynthia. I have a question for you regarding the CIA. I remember in the US some time ago, had Jesse Ventura become an independent governor? And he claims that during the time when he was to become this independent governor, the CIA actually approached him in a group, in a private meeting, revealed themselves to him that they were the CIA and were essentially checking up on him. Do you believe that the CIA have now turned inwards on the USA, especially with the unusual widespread use of this sketchy Dominion software? How do you sit with them, like the way you were commenting about AIPAC?
Well, of course, we know many things. One, and one of those things is that our government is divided. So we have some people who are pro-USA, but we have a lot more people who have been embedded in our into the various departments and agencies of our government who are Israel first. They are not they're not USA first, but you know, they get paid by US taxpayers and they get to sit in on all of the secrets of the United States military industrial complex. So we have a huge, huge problem. Now, not only is the government divided, but in terms of whether or not in the end we would be able to prevail over them, I think we've got a complicit media. And the media, if we go back and we look at COINTELPRO, what COINTELPRO tells us is that all of these techniques that have been honed to change governments in other parts of the world, regime change, color revolutions. Well, what made us think that those same people who did those orchestrations wouldn't come back and bring those technologies and use them inside the United States? They did. In COINTELPRO, they're doing it now. So this hybrid warfare that was low-intensity warfare that was used in other parts of the world to get a political outcome have now come back home. And we saw that the CIA actually ran candidates for Congress. So it was not just enough that you had these CIA agents populating and controlling portions of the executive branch, but they wanted to go over into the legislative branch as well. So, I mean, this is the deep state becoming the public state, remaining the deep state.
Cynthia and I, of course, both know Jesse, and he's told me the story about when he was elected governor, he was summoned to a meeting with members of his staff, which he thought was very odd in the first place. Some of whom, not all, identified themselves as working for the CIA. So that was pretty disconcerting. Wait, we're going to bring in Bernie from Connecticut. Bernie, go ahead. Join the conversation.
Well, I'm replying to the guy who called in from Connecticut about taking a vaccine.
Yeah.
The nurse, right? His
go
daughter,
ahead.
The nurse. I know a lot of nurses, and they came up to me one day because they said at this hospital in Middletown, they said, well, they told them either you take the vaccine or you get out. In other words, you lose your job.
So it's that cut and dry. Yeah.
And that's only the flu vaccine, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this goes on, and this is what's going on all the time. The big hospitals, you mandate, you got to take it, you know.
And, of course, most of the time when we're told these hospitals are overflowing with COVID patients are actually empty. When I first began my research, Ole Domegaard sent me statistics about mortality in Europe where it was supposed to be surging, and there was no variation in the mortality rate. And when, American citizens went to hospitals all over the country, they were empty. I remember when Jason Goodman went down to Elmhurst in Queens, which was supposed to be abounding with COVID patients, the place was deserted. I mean, it's all been a scam from the beginning. I'm going to bring in Brew, Chicago Brew, join the conversation.
Yeah, once upon a time, talking about this nurses stuff, once upon a time they had the option, take the flu shot or wear a mask all the time. Well, a lot of the nurses chose not to take the shot and wear a mask. Then they started mandating that, look, we're no longer giving you that option. You have to take the flu shot. So then, you know, in a lot of these hospitals, the nurses got together and, you know, when they would initiate the flu shot, they wouldn't do it in their arm. They'd do it into a garbage can. Well, then they caught on to that. Now there's somebody that peers over to their shoulder to make sure the needle goes into the arm and gets injected. So, you know, this whole project started there. I'm going to give you a report from Illinois here today. You know, J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, a Jewish guy, a billionaire. They're a crime family, technically. They were heavy supporters to help Obama get the presidency and so on and so forth. Today they are putting out this whole new, like, health warnings and so on and so forth. You know, retail stores can only have 25% capacity. Theaters have to be shut down. All museums starting today are going to be shut down until further notice, at least until next year. You know, this is what they're pulling here. It's a total lockdown. Nobody can go out and enjoy themselves, visit the museums, nothing. And again, it's a strike on businesses. You know, 25% capacity. Doesn't matter how big your store is, 25% capacity. This is what they're pulling by J.B. Pritzker and the New World Control Order.
They know you damn well can't stay in business if you only got 25%. You know, it's like flying flights, planes cross country with minuscule participants. That was one of the oddities of 9/11. There were hardly any passengers on any of the alleged planes, which is typical of another scam. But the one you're making now, the points you're making are a little close to home. I mean, I have good friends who reside in the Chicago area, and this is not good news. Meanwhile, let me go back to Giuseppe, and then I'll come back to you, Bruce, and the others. Giuseppe.
Yeah, the Pritzkers are a massive criminal family, and I would like to ask Dr. McKenney, once she left Congress and began doing her crusading truth-telling, what does she feel has been her greatest achievement as far as opening some people's eyes, maybe a certain segment or maybe a certain speech or two you gave where you really felt like, wow, I'm really making a difference?
Wow, that's a unique question. I would have to say that my most significant contribution since I've left the Congress has been the books that I've written, because basically what I tried to do was to provide a glimpse of the reality and the truth where there was obfuscation and propaganda. And so with the Libya book, I took a team of journalists to Libya during Obama's bombing, and so we were able to report exactly what was going on, the war crimes that were being committed by U.S. forces and U.S. bombs, the how the U.S. creates shithole countries. I shouldn't say that, I guess.
No, it's okay.
But our president said it. I don't normally talk like that, but I says our president. So I named the book that. And basically what I did there was I gathered people from the extreme left, the extreme right, and everything in between to see if we could come up with a foreign policy consensus. And indeed we did, that it was U.S. foreign policy that contributed to the conditions in these countries. And we went from Vietnam. We had Vietnamese testimony of the use of Agent Orange and how people got dusted with the Agent Orange. And then, of course, the children that were born as a result of that needing care. And that continues to this day. So Vietnam, Puerto Rico, Haiti, where again, Hillary can steal children, and or Hillary's friend, I put it that way, can steal children and then get rewarded with a government job. Whereas, at least for me, and I know a whole lot of people like me who have challenged the AIPAC line, and then we get listed, put on a list where we can't get any job. But you go steal children and you can get a job. So that book, and then my most recent book is the SARS Coronavirus 2 book, When China Sneezes. And there we did the same thing. Of course, it was a lot more difficult because that's a scientific book. So we needed expertise in that area, and we were able to get it still from across the political spectrum so that there would be agreement in the end. And the agreement is that SARS coronavirus 2 is a biological weapon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, do you want to ask a follow-up?
Can I please ask my question and take my call offline, please?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Thank you, for it, Professor Fetcher. This is Green Art One. Well, thank you so much, Ms. McKinney. Nice to talk to you, Giuseppe, and Chicago Brew, and Bernie from Connecticut. One quick announcement. Patriots meet for a flag wave every Friday in the City Hall Park in Barre, Vermont, 4 to 8 p.m. to support President Trump, back the blue, and stop the steal. Have an alias ready at all times when you walk in the stores so you can write it down. Name, address, phone number, not yours. Consider leaving your trackable phones in the car for the Nazi tracing network. Here's my question, and I'll take the answer offline, please. Thank you very much. Is there any chance that this contagion is a bacteria? According to that information coming out of Italy. Thank you very much, guys. I'll take the answer.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Thanks on all counts.
Well, that could be. The reason I say that is because 6 years ago I was listening to Radio Orbit, and there's this guy, Candace Stebbins, on it. He says that they're stashing food in a cavern in southern Indiana. And he says they're planning to spray the Northeast out of some Air Force base in New York or something with some kind of contaminant. This is 6 or 7 years ago, right? So, I mean, it could be bacteria. You don't know. Just make you feel sick enough that you think you're really sick, you know. They're always spraying stuff, and you know that. So...
Dean, Dean, do you have a further question you'd like to contribute here?
Yeah, regarding potential new voting systems based on what we're hearing may come out in the very near future, do you think whether Trump gets in as president or not could become a figurehead or face for bringing in a new, say, blockchain-based system for all states? Or do you think that the media have ripped him apart, his image apart, so much now that the country couldn't even come together over that? Where do you sit with how many things would need to be resolved, or what could trigger the settling down of the cartoonish left-right paradigm and bring in a fairer voter system with both sides? And I don't mean, obviously, the power plays at the top, but should we say both types of voter being finding it acceptable?
Not to preclude Cynthia's answer, but I think paper ballots and hand counts, they're cheaper, more reliable. We got to go back to them, get rid of the machines, which are irresistible temptations to manipulate and fabricate outcomes. Cynthia, about their left-right paradigm, your thoughts?
Well, so many years ago that I can hardly remember, I introduced the Voters' Choice Act, and what we have now is a system. So I guess I should say we need systemic change, and then we need the sort of structural or technological change as well. So in specific relation to the issue of blockchain, it's my understanding that blockchain is nothing more than an accounting system that is permanent. And so to the extent that we can have a permanent accounting system of the votes that takes place that is public, blockchain can be public or it can be private. So that is public, then that's way better than, than what we have now in, actually, maybe it's not, because if the inputs are wrong, then the output is going to be wrong. And the output then is forever enshrined with this blockchain technology. But so the Voters' Choice Act, we've got to have some structural change where we move away from this winner-take-all system that we have now. And that is really a bad system. And what we need is to be able to give more options for a representation of more voices. And we need to move away from the strict party affiliation so that we can have a more level playing field with respect to independents and third parties or alternate parties other than the duopoly.
Are you thinking of something like a parliamentary system, Cynthia?
No, not exactly a parliamentary system. I wouldn't say that, because there are inherent failures in that as well.
Yes.
Actually, what I like is to think about direct democracy, because basically what we have now is a system of indirect democracy. And I know people laud a republic. But if you look at republics around the world, what they generally become is kakistocracies. And that's what we have here in this country. It's a kakistocracy, such that the people who offer themselves are not the best people in the first place. And then the people who win are the most corrupt, the most willing to do evil things in order to get the most power hungry. So all of the negative characteristics that you definitely do not want in your...
When we come back, Brew will be up to the bat. We'll be right back with Cynthia McKinney.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that they were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet.
Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Before returning to Cynthia, I'd just like to mention we're embroiled in so many conspiracies, the coronavirus, the attempts to, you know, defame Trump, steal the election. Those who want to get a better grip on how widely they are employed, false flags and conspiracies, I just want to mention the conference I've organized for Saturday and Sunday, December 5th and 6th. It's a virtual conference. You can partake it from the comfort of your own home. Check out falseflagconspiracies2020.com. I have 24 experts on a whole wide range, from the classic JFK and 9/11 to the use of, torturing individuals by electronic methods and the godfathers of sex abuse, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein. I'll be exposing faking of hate crimes and the use of body doubles in elections, which has occurred even now, because the guy who they're talking about is the president-elect, prematurely, of course, because it hasn't been resolved, is not even Joe Biden, but an actor who looks very much like him. Cynthia, let me just add, the principal objection to democracy is that in the United States, it would mean all the campaigning would be done in the most populous states. It would occur in California, New York, Florida, Texas, one or two others, and the smaller states would be neglected. I think it's part of the genius of the founding fathers that they created a method that would require candidates for federal office pay attention to every state.
I agree with that because, quite frankly, I'm a proud Southerner. And I think the South has some distinct characteristics, and the South would always be neglected and always be left out and always be forgotten if we didn't have the Electoral College, for example. And I know that there's been some dissatisfaction with the Electoral College in that it is also a winner take all institution, and some states have moved toward making it at least proportional by congressional district. But I don't want California and Texas and New York to control all of the policies that are representative of the United States. So I don't support the elimination of the Electoral College. And when it comes to the Senate, I don't support the elimination of holes nor of the filibuster as well, because minority voices do need to be heard. And this is one way that our minority voices are heard.
I agree completely. Brew, I'm bringing you back in for further thought.
Yeah, Cynthia touched on a story that had me pull up the articles. It was Laura Silsby of Idaho who was arrested at the Haitian border attempting to smuggle 33 children out of Haiti without documentation. Her sentence and charges were reduced after an intervention by Bill Clinton. In the aftermath of Silsby's arrest, her originally retained lawyer, Jorge Puello, was arrested in connection with international smuggling ring accused of trafficking women and minors from Central America and Haiti. Now, this was all pushed aside by the media. Now, on January 29th, 2010, Silsby was arrested with nine other American nationals attempting to steal 33 children from the country, whom were most not even orphans and had families. Now, she uses this excuse that she was going to set up an orphanage in the Dominican Republic, but there was no such paperwork. Silsby was somebody that was riddled in debt and was reported for not paying wages and so on and so forth. And, of course, this was all pushed under the rug with the help of Hillary and Bill Clinton. Now, this story goes even further to up to date, like this release on January 13, 2020. A woman named Laura Silsby was caught trafficking 33 undocumented children out of Haiti. Bill Clinton intervened, and her sentence got reduced to six months. Silsby changed her name to Laura Gaylor and now works as the VP of marketing for AlertSense, a company that issues Amber Alerts. God, how is that for a punchline?
That is so disgusting, Brew. I can't believe it. Cynthia, I'm sure you'll find this just familiar. This is just a status quo.
It is absolutely the status quo. So you get people who commit these heinous acts and they get promoted in the swamp. The swamp can always promote the incompetent and the what? Corruptible, and get rid of the people who really are there to do the work of the country.
You know, I know a new NYPD Gold Shield detective by the name of Jim Rothstein, who cracked many pedophile cases in New York, only see him quashed by the DA on political grounds. And when I shared with him some of the contents from the Anthony Weiner laptop that were being leaked out of the NYPD, I asked where he surprised, and he said, no, not at all. Because based upon his experience, 70% of the political elite is engaged in pedophilia. Cynthia, isn't that appalling?
It's absolutely appalling. And of course, you know, we used to have pages in the Congress, and they had to get rid of they got rid of them because, well,
they were being subjected to sexual abuse.
Yes. Hey, Jim. Jim and Cynthia, you missed the punchline on this Silsby story, who changed her name. She is the VP of marketing for AlertSense, the company that issues Amber Alerts. So a child smuggler caught and convicted of smuggling children, attempting to smuggle children out of another country, is now in charge of Amber Alerts, which is an alert system for missing children in the United States.
Yeah, we didn't miss it. We got it. Actually, Cynthia mentioned it before that she's in charge of Amber Alerts. It's absurd. You're completely right, Brew. It's outrageous. Paul, is that Cynthia. Paul from California? You want to chime in?
Yes, sir.
I'm here in Connecticut, Professor Jim.
Well, I think there are two Pauls here. There is Paul in Connecticut. Yeah. I think we got a new Paul from California.
Okay, go
ahead.
Yeah,
that would be Paul number one. On the note that we just were talking about, for that reason, I think that Hunter Biden should be the new head of the DEA. what do you think about that, Cynthia?
Oh, my goodness. Hunter Biden. First of all, let me tell you that I was raised to be a genteel Southern lady, okay? But I looked at every one of those Hunter Biden videos.
I know.
I'd never seen anything like it before. But this is, I mean, so as I said, if you're corruptible or incompetent, there's room for you at the top in the swamp. And that's why we're threatened with Joe Biden. Joe Biden plagiarized in law school and had to beg his way out of getting kicked out. And then when he ran for president, he plagiarized a UK politician and had to drop out of his presidential campaign. That was back in the 80s. So this man is a serial liar. And it appears that his children, that at least Hunter, is a chip off the old block.
And his brother, Jim, they're involved in the Biden crime family. I mean, involved in illicit activities in Ukraine, Russia, Iraq, and China.
Romania,
I mean, it's monstrous.
As well. And Romania.
So Cynthia,
but
one of the
reasons. They are just like the Clintons. Nothing happened to the Clintons. So why should I think something is going to happen to the Bidens?
No, I mean,
I give you another shot, and then I'm going back to Giuseppe. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, so, I mean, at this point, I think we can just regard, Biden as a cardboard cutout. Basically, he's just a front for the so-called deep state. That's all he is. It doesn't really matter, if he's president or if he's not president or even if he's unconscious. For all we know, he could be in a coma right now, and they're only going to use his double. But the original reason I wanted to call in, Cynthia, is to compliment you on your use of the word kakistocracy. That's a very unusual word. It's actually been made more popular by a guy by the name of Russ Winter. He's used it many times on his site. And it's a kind of word that most people would not know and they'd have to look up. So nice drop there.
And, yeah, you want to define it for us, Paul?
Actually, I would have to go and look it up again, but essentially it's just, I believe if I'm not mistaken, and Cynthia could correct me, it's just a combination of the worst elements rising to the top and corrupting, ruling the day.
Sounds
that's
like exact,
exactly right.
Sounds so like exact
and
description.
This is,
yeah.
And this is the problem that I have with indirect democracy, of which a republic is a form, because those people who are the most corruptible, the most unethical, are the ones who are able to rise to the top. And in indirect democracy, that's the example that we have from country after country after country. You go around the world and look at the republics, and what do you have? You have the worst people at the top. You have kakistocracy.
Those are the easiest to control.
Very nice. Very nice.
That's right. That's right.
Giuseppe.
Yes, I'd like to ask Cynthia that if you work upon the basic assumption that there is no political solution to this rule of kakistocracy and the globalist assault on our sovereign republic, what, in your mind, are realistic solutions?
Well, I think what we're seeing now is a very realistic solution. It's just not my solution. And that is revolution. So revolution is being imposed on us. That's the revolution of Bill Gates, George Soros, and all the rest, the Rockefellers, because this was all written out in lockstep, deep winter, when Joe Biden, in that last presidential debate, said that we're going to have a deep winter. He was tipping his hat to the Gates, Rockefeller, Rothschild cabal that have envisioned this. They've played it out. We saw Event 201. They've gamed it out. They know exactly what they want. They know exactly how to get there. And they knew exactly who to fund in order to make it happen. Now, I call myself a revolutionary, right? I want to see deep transformational change in not only the content, the output of our in terms of policy, but I also want to see the structure change so that we have a better input from more people who are a part and parcel of this country, whose voices are systematically left out. Now, so that would require revolutionary change, but not a George Soros revolution. And what I looked at the other day was I remembered this professor from Kentucky. He wrote about Black Hawks Down and how Black, quote unquote, political leadership, like me, like Adam Clayton Powell, for example, we were substituted. You had Charlie Rangel come in, and he's a go-along, get-along, deep state guy. And you had Obama come in. He's a go-along, get-along, deep state guy whose parents and grandparents were part of the CIA. And then you had people like me who were committed to principles, committed to values, committed to policy outcomes, and committed to inclusiveness in terms of the voices of the people of this country, the disparate voices that be included in the policy output. Well, what happened was you had certain people imposed or injected into the system, and they became representatives of the whole. And that was false representation. And that is what happened with the Black community. And now that's what's happening with the white community, that Joe Biden is supposed to be your leader. And Joe Biden can't be your leader, just like Kamala Harris can't be mine.
Oh, that's fascinating. I'd like to just suggest that instead of describing those globalist traitors as revolutionaries, we save that title for people like you and everyone on this call, and we call them traitors or foreign attackers, because they are not revolutionaries. They seek to destroy and attack this sovereign republic.
Yes, they are absolutely trying to destroy this sovereign. And sovereign is the key word.
Did Paul in Connecticut have a further question? Paul in Connecticut?
Yes. Cynthia, didn't you say Dominion was Diebold Corporation before that? Was the old thing was Diebold?
Yes, that was information that I received from my lawyer yesterday when I with all of the Sidney Powell information that came up, and there's a 2019 lawsuit against Dominion that was filed by the same woman who helped us with our lawsuit. Her name is Curling, Donna Curling, like curling iron. And so my lawyer told me yesterday that there was a buyout and that Dominion bought out Diebold. So Diebold got out of the...
Well, you know who Diebold is, don't you? Diebold got caught with trafficking a long time ago, and they asked the governor of Illinois to look into it. And he just shut up real quick after that.
Yeah, Diebold has a very, very dark history. It's no surprise here.
Right.
I'm totally not aware of that, so I need to.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Nasty.
Dean.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's a commodity. That's what it is. It's become trafficking has become a commodity. You know, they're probably selling it to aliens. You know?
I think Professor Fetzer would agree with this this quick statement here that I think we need to scrap all this nonsense about computers.
Oh yeah,
ridiculous. What we should do is just bring in ninth and tenth graders that are supervised by representatives of both parties, and they could just participate in this wonderful democracy republic, and they could count the votes by hand, and then we just tally them up and we send in the results, and it's all by a deadline and we're done. Because what we're looking at now is what Russ Winter would call clown world. It's just absurd beyond absurd.
Yes.
Well,
Brew.
Yeah. You know, I got a report out of Washington, D.C. today where basically it was described as a war zone. Like, it's between the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter. They have just been destroying D.C. to make it look like a war zone over there. And the other part of this is basically it's coming down to spy versus spy there. There are the infiltrators of the spy agencies and all the you know, on the evil side, they're getting together trying to figure out how they can pull this scheme off of stealing the country. And then we got all the white hats, like Patrick Berge and others, and Millie Weaver and Tory Says and so many others are gathering there trying to, you know, help Sidney Powell and Donald Trump and the rest of us on their side. So that's what's going on in Washington, D.C. It's a big convergence. You know, this is the information war. And of course, you know, all sorts of things are happening, and it's not necessarily blood on the streets quite yet, even though Antifa and Black Lives Matter want to make havoc to make it look like that perceptive management.
Excellent. Excellent report. Mitchell,
I got a question. I got a question for Cynthia.
Mitchell, if you'd like to chime in and have a question for Cynthia or make a comment, you're welcome, Mitchell. If not, I'll go back to Paul in California.
Well, I have a question for Cynthia real quick. Cynthia, it's been reported that since 2016, since Donald Trump was elected and he took office, that his whole entire administration has been a military operation. Would you agree with that?
Now, I had not heard that. I mean, I heard Steve Pachinik make the comment that this was an effort to do the counter coup because they recognized that Hillary was bringing in a coup. It's been very incompetent military operation, if it has been, because I think the Trump administration should not, could have delivered more to the people of the U.S. than it did. And he should have had competent people around him, at least one or two. Certainly not have put Jared Kushner in charge. I mean, there's some extremely strategic mistakes that were made that produced this particular moment. We didn't have to have this moment.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, one other thing that I would like to say, I know time is running out. Oh. And that is, one of the tactics that the United States used abroad was the creation of these so-called rebel groups that would go in and take over. They would wreak terror, wreak havoc. Remember Jonas Savimbi? He got $30 million every year, and all he had to do was go kill up a bunch of Africans, because that's what they wanted him to do, to deny the opportunity for governance of the Africans in southern and western Africa. So if you look at what the U.S. has done in Africa, you look at what the United States has done in Asia, you look at today the creation of ISIS, Daesh, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab. All of these are political vehicles that have been created by the U.S. Why? And certain players were responsible for this inside the U.S., from the U.S. What makes you think that they wouldn't finance organizations like BLM and Antifa that became, that started out with innocent people who were concerned about their communities, and that became intelligence operations, undercover intelligence operations? That is
Good
what
point.
Has happened inside the United States.
Cynthia, you've just been wonderful here. I hope I will have the chance to bring you back again. Please tell us, where can we find more of your work? Do you have a blog, a website? And tell us again the names of your books. Are they available on Amazon?
My books are available on Amazon, and although Amazon is playing a little game now with this coronavirus book that I just did, but they're all on Clarity Press. Clarity, C-L-A-R-I-T-Y, Clarity Press. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook when I'm not in Facebook jail as Cynthia McKinney Official. I have a website, allthingscynthiamckinney.com. I need to update it. So that'll be work that I'll be doing. While everyone else is enjoying their holidays, I guess I'll be updating my website.
Giuseppe, your thoughts.
I think if there was ever a marriage made in heaven, it's Cynthia McKinney and Revolution Radio. So I hope she will return soon. In fact, I was corresponding with you, Cynthia, to come on my show, and hopefully you'll come back regular, because free speech is a rare commodity these days, and you come here, you can talk about anything. So thank you so much for joining the show today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Rue, did you
want to? Cynthia mentioned Steve Pachenik, who I can't trust too much. Now, what does Cynthia think about Robert David Steele these days?
I know Robert David Steele is a highly controversial individual, and he's in part he's made himself that way by some of the things that he said. But I have to be honest with you that he has been a straight shooter with me. He has treated me with dignity and respect, and that's what I ask of people, and that's what I've gotten from him.
Cynthia, I echo that. I know Robert David Steele, too. We've collaborated both on his memorandum for the president on Sandy Hook and his memorandum for the president on 9/11. I find him to be a very straight shooter, an upright, responsible guy, and I have no doubt that he has the best interests of this nation at heart, as do you, my wonderful friend. Cynthia, it's been just a great honor to have you here. I cannot thank you enough. All the callers have been just terrific, too. But, Cynthia, it's been a real joy having you here.
Thank you so much, Jim, and I look forward to coming back to Revolution Radio.
Sensational, sensational. And Giuseppe, I'm sure we'll be reaching out to you, too. He has a couple of shows, and I'm sure he'd like to feature you on both, Cynthia. Any final words for the people of the United States?
Well, don't sit back and be a spectator on this one, because the fate of the country and the future of the country is at stake. We have to have honest elections if we are going to have a republic at all.
And I would only add, as we approach the 20th of January, if it appears that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have stolen this election, pack in your gear. Got lock and load, stock up on ammo and supplies, because we're going to be going to a real war right here in the USA. And I say, as I've said before, although I'm agnostic, God bless Donald Trump and God bless the USA. And God bless you, Cynthia McKinney.
Thank you so much.
Listening to Revolution.